Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read verses 1 through 5. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. I want you to listen at the words that the Apostle Paul writes to this church. This is the church that Paul spent a long time with. He spent about three and a half years with this church at Ephesus. And this was the church that he allowed his spiritual son by the name of Timothy to take over this church. Look what he says. He says, "You and you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Verse 3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But I like this next two verses. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. And then parenthetically it says, by grace you are saved. Praise God. Grace. I want to talk just for a little while on a question is what it means to be lost. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it really means something to be lost. You know, sometimes we read in the newspaper, we see on television, we hear on radio where someone has been caught under a snow avalanche, where someone has fallen down a tunnel, where someone has been trapped in some type of manhole. And when we hear this type of information, we get this type of news, we feel something of despair for their families as they grimly mutter the words, they are lost. But we think, praise God, they are not lost. We know exactly where they are in the tunnel. Yet, praise God, the reply comes back. They are lost as if they were hundreds of miles underground. Amen. Praise God. We cannot reach them. We know where they are, but they are lost. Praise God. You see, this expresses the condition of those who are spiritually lost. I'm talking about those who, without Jesus Christ in their lives, those without salvation. In other words, we know where they are, all right, but praise God, they are still lost without Christ. We may have some folk, amen, in our own families, praise God, that don't know Jesus. They have not given Jesus Christ their life. We know where they are, but let me tell you something, they are still lost. Amen. Praise God. You see, the answer to the question that we have just posed here, praise God, what does it mean to be lost? Paul, in this letter, especially those first three verses, praise God, Paul gives us the answer, amen, to why people are lost. Amen. First thing he tells us, he says, first, to be lost is to be what? Spiritually dead. Amen. Spiritually dead. Amen. You see, what he writes in verse 1, he says, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Just walk with me through the text. Praise God. You see, man was created to know, to fellowship, to worship, and to serve God. Praise God. That's why we were made. Amen. We were made so that we would know God. We were made so that we would fellowship with God. We were made, praise God, to worship God. We were made to serve God. Amen. And when a man does not fulfill the purpose for which he was created, praise God, he has little, if anything, to do with God. He is separated and dead to God. Praise God. The Bible speaks of three different deaths. Amen. I want you to just listen at these real quick. There are three deaths that the Bible talks about. First of all, there is physical death. Physical death is when a person is separated, praise God, the separation of a man's spirit from his body. Amen. This is what men commonly call death. Praise God. It is when a person ceases to exist on this earth and is buried. Praise God. That is what we call physically death. And the Bible talks about that. But another death that the Bible talks about is this death that's called spiritual death. Spiritual death is the separation of a man from God while he is still living and walking up on the earth. Praise God. He's still walking. He's still living. Praise God. But he's separated from God. Amen. And this is the natural state of a man that is without Jesus Christ in his life. I'm talking about man is seen as still in his sins, and he is dead to God. But praise God, there is a third death that the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about eternal death. Amen. This is the separation of a man from God's presence forever. Amen. Praise God. You see, this is the second death. It is that eternal state of the being of a person who is dead in God. In other words, this man is lost forever. Praise God. You see, our question is, what does it mean to be lost? Paul is talking about a man who is spiritually dead. Amen. Praise God. He's talking about one who is spiritually dead. I told you, somebody who is spiritually dead, they are still living. Praise God. They're still walking. They are still talking. Praise God. But they don't know who God is. Praise God. They are spiritually dead. Praise God. But there is something that is good about that. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Oh, there's something good about a person who is spiritually dead. Let me tell you what's good about it. You see, one who is spiritually dead, something can be done before he or she is physically dead. Something can be done before they are physically dead, and what? And they reaches the point where he or she is eternally dead. Praise God. So if you are in here this morning, amen, and you are spiritually dead, man, you're in the right place. Pat yourself on the back and say, I'm in the right place. Praise God, because something can be done before you become physically dead, and praise God, ultimately, eternally dead. Praise God. You see, a person who wastes his or her life in riotous living is spiritually dead. Paul was giving this out. Those who are in my Bible study, I know y'all may not remember this, but we went through and we were teaching in 1 Timothy, and there were some things. Do y'all remember when we were teaching and we were talking about how to take care of the widow? Praise God. We were saying that those who was in fact widows indeed, we were supposed to make sure that they're cared for, that we are to take care of them. But Paul tells his spiritual son, Timothy, you can find, I want you to put 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 6 on there. Look what he says about, this is the person that was spiritually dead. Yeah. He says, but she that lives in pleasure is dead, what? While she lives. In other words, that person is still walking. That person still got blood, flesh on their body. Praise God, but they don't know Christ, and they are spiritually dead. And any person who has not partaken of Jesus Christ and who does not have the Son of God in their life is spiritually dead. Amen. I'm trying to tell you what it means. If you put 1 John chapter 5, verse 12 on that marquee and see what John writes about the person who is spiritually dead. He said that he that has the Son has what? Life. Praise God. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. I'm trying to tell us this morning, praise God, if we have not the life of Jesus Christ.
You read the King James Version. Where's Deshaun? That's Deshaun over there. That's John. Amen. Now only he and I know what that is. Amen. Come on. I got to get it. There you go. All right. All right. Look what Paul writes to that church at Colossae. And I'm hoping that after we finish today, if there's somebody in here that you don't like.
What's up, Pastor? Nobody.
In here. If there's somebody in here today that you got an ought against. Right,
thank you. Come on, Pastor. That's good. Go back to Sunday school. That's it.
When we finish,
good, Pastor.
That you'll go walk over to them. Oh boy, people getting nervous now.
Don't lose yourself.
That you go walk over to that person. Shake their hand. Hug their neck. Let them know how much you truly appreciate them.
Yeah.
I hate to stand up and preach every Sunday.
That's right, Pastor.
And for you to go to hell because you still hating on somebody.
That's right,
or you still got some ear feeling towards somebody.
Yeah. Keep you from church.
I'm going to take my time today.
Yeah, use him, Lord. Fill him with your spirit.
I really mean this.
Yes, Lord. Bless, Lord.
I want y'all to read it in the King James.
Yes, sir.
But I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation because not that I have anything against King James, because that's my Bible.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I just like some of these other translations because it gives me a better meaning.
Yes, sir.
Understanding.
And an understanding.
Yes, sir. Right.
Let me read. I'm going to start reading at verse 3, and I'm going to go. It says, we always pray for you, and we thank and give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have heard of your faith in Christ. This is verse 4, in Christ Jesus, and your love for all of God's people.
Yes.
Verse 5, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven.
Yes, sir.
You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news.
Yes, sir.
Verse 6. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere.
Yes,
by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. Verse 7, you learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. Now, the us that Paul is talking about is him and Timothy.
Yes.
And then verse 8 says, he has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. I want you to be seated. I want to talk about this morning. I'm going to take my time, y'all. The characteristics of the gospel message. I want to talk about the good news. You see, my brothers and my sisters, the good news about Jesus Christ is the only thing that can bring hope to a dying world.
Amen.
Money can't do it. Good health can't do it. Good looks can't do it. A whole lot of friends can't do it. A large, loving family can't do it. The good news of Jesus Christ brings hope to a dying world. And this gospel message, this hope, all centers around the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In our text, Paul is stressing the importance of the Word of God, the gospel, the good news. The believer's hope has one great source, and that source is the gospel. It's the good news. It's the Word of God. I want you to note, if you look at verse 5, Paul writes, he used both the Word and the gospel in that one verse. And he mentions that because the Word of God that reveals the great hope. It is the Word of God that reveals the great hope for man. You see, man cannot find hope. Not a permanent hope or an eternal hope. Not a hope that lasts forever in any other place. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, if you're going to have some hope in this world. I didn't hear enough voices. We might be here at 3 o'clock. That hope has got to come through the Word of God. If you don't study nothing else in the book of Colossians, I want you to go to verses 5 through 8 in chapter 1, because that gives you an excellent study of the gospel of the Word of God.
Yes,
I'm talking about that good news. And if you were to take verses 5 through 8, there are 8 characteristics that are in there.
Yes,
we're going to go through them today, y'all.
Come on.
Amen. And we're going to end with verse 8.
Man.
Well, I told you, if there's somebody here that you hate now, you better get them on your mind, praise God. Get them on your mind, because when we finish, I'm hoping that you would have enough spiritual intestinal fortitude. Y'all know what that is? That's called spiritual backbone. To go and tell that person, whatever I did to you, whether or not you thought I did it or not, if it's causing an ill relationship between us, I'm going to ask your forgiveness.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You can't live through life hating folk.
Amen.
It's going to eat at you just like a cancer.
Sir.
Just like an ulcer in your stomach.
Sir.
Get it right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And I can't think of another time to get it right. So we're going to sit down here and we're going to partake of this Holy Communion. And we can't sit up in here and take communion and talking about we love to forgive us of our sin and all that stuff like that. And we walk right out that door hating the person that we hated when we came in here. Let's look at this good word. Let's look at this thing. See, the good news of the word is the word, it's true. Turn to your neighbor and say, the good news, the gospel is the truth. See, it's not false. It's not false teaching. Neither is it just a wish or a guess that its message is true. The good news is the truth of God, the very word and the promise of the sovereign majesty of the universe. I'm talking about God himself. And that means something wonderful to us. Because if the word is true, if we can stand right here today and say that the word is true, praise God, that means that the hope that is offered to man is the truth. In other words, you could stand on it. You could bank on it. So it's the truth. Amen. John chapter 17. I'm going to put all of them there because I want y'all to see these. John chapter 17, verse 17. John 17, 17 says this. He told Jesus, said, sanctify them through what? Thy truth. And then he goes on to say, thy word is true. So we, the first thing that we find, first characteristics of this word, praise God, it is that is the truth. The second thing that we find about this good news of the word is that it is for individuals. Turn to your neighbor, say neighbor. It's for the individuals. Amen. You see, Paul said in that word, he said that it has come to you. In other words, he's addressing all of those folks in that Colossians church. But praise God, he's addressing every last one of us today and letting us know that this gospel message is for everybody. Oh, Lord, somebody, you're getting quiet on me. You see, it's for everybody, and every individual has to respond to the gospel. Nobody can respond for you. Praise God. Sister Howard, I know you love your mother, Sister Chalk. But let me tell you something. Sister Chalk couldn't respond for you. You had to respond to the gospel message. Praise God yourself. It's for individuals. This message is for individuals. Praise God. Romans chapter 10 verse 13 says that for whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Let me see the hands of everybody who call upon the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He said that if you call upon the name of the Lord, he said you shall be saved. He ain't said no might be. He didn't say it. He think. He said that if you call upon the name of the Lord, and guess what? Every individual in here got to do that. I can't do it for my son. My son can't do it for his son. My wife can't do it for my daughter, but my granddaughter, anybody. It has to be done by the individual. Praise God. This word, this gospel that we preach is for individuals. Oh, I know ain't nobody going to shout today. But I'm hoping that you will leave here today. But not only is it for the individual. Keep on reading in verse 6. Lets us know that this good news, this gospel is also for the world. That's number 3, y'all. In other words, it is universal as well as it is individual. Amen. It's in there. I'll go back and read it. Read it. It's in there.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT.